I also want to reproduce certain conversations that took place in your language. So a couple with a large number of children lived in great poverty, and these parents had difficulty supporting their children, but it always worked. They got the bare necessities to eat, they simply created the opportunity to do so. Nor were they too strict about domestic order. Nevertheless, they still had time to sit on the bench in front of the house for hours. When these two parents became old and their children had grown up, the children had to, only as greater than illustration not from book, support their parents. They all lived together in a modest house, and the old parents sat on this bench in front of the house whenever possible. They talked to the neighbors and also had to look after the small children. And so the time came for these two when they had to say goodbye to the world. I would not like to omit to say that they both believed that they had lived piously, piously in quotation marks. They went to church and they prayed exactly as they were told. They worshipped the saints, exactly as they had been taught. They had no particular idea about life after death, but they expected that after death one would go to heaven. They both had great reverence for the Madonna and also for Christ, but the Madonna came first. First the old mother died. She was carried into her new world by the spirit world of God. Everything was prepared for her. She was allowed to live in a house with a small garden. There were no other buildings in the immediate vicinity, but there were large fields. The mother now took her place in this house. Then spirits of God came to her and informed her that it would not be long before her husband came to her too. Until her former life partner returned home, spirits of God came to her and told her about her relatives who also lived in the spirit world, but who were actually far away from her. Some were more deeply, low, developed in their spiritual development and were unable to visit their relatives who had returned home, others were, in part, very advanced and had ascended, and would visit them when the opportunity arose. Well, this mother soul had the desire to pray to the Madonna. She also asked when the Madonna would take her home. By this home she naturally meant entering the splendor and glory of heaven. She was told that she was now in a pre-heaven and would first stay here for a while. Then she would be able to experience the heavenly glory, but it would still be a while before that. First she had to get together with her husband and they would live together for a while. When they had both reached a point where their souls and thoughts had been somewhat elevated, they would be allowed to leave this place. Well, this mother soul, her name was Maria, was very happy, the house was very tidy, everything was clean. She had never known such cleanliness in her human life. What particularly surprised her was that there was also a bench in front of the house. And so she sat there exactly as she had sat on her earthly bench in front of the house when she was alive. In general, she had the impression that everything was so similar to what was on earth. She had a garden, and in this garden there were only a few bushes. There were no flowers, but there were vines. And so she was happy and content about that, because she had the feeling that she would never have to be hungry or thirsty, because to her admiration there were the most beautiful grapes. She had been told that it would not be long before her husband, his name was Alberto, would also come, and then they could be together for a while to adjust to the new world and settle in. She was of course very happy that she had been told this, because she had already been worried that Alberto would not be able to find his way without her and that she would have to look after things. And so it happened. Alberto was brought to her and she received him with great enthusiasm. He seemed a little tired and sleepy. The house was very simple with everything in it, but it had three beds. So Alberto could lie down and rest. She did not leave his side. The beings who brought him said to her, "You can stay next to Alberto until he opens his eyes. But you can continue to do as you please. You can sit on the bench and watch everything that is happening and then check on Alberto again from time to time." So she did. First she knelt down in front of his bed and thought that this sleep would only last a short time, and so she did not want to miss the moment when he would open his eyes. But it took too long for her, so she sat down on the bench in front of her house again. She saw that various beings were walking past, always nodding and smiling at her in a friendly way. They were also dressed very elegantly and had a very special, friendly, loving smile for her. Maria had gotten used to it, because they regularly walked past her house. And when she saw them coming, she would wave to them, and these noble beings, that's what we will call them now, also waved to Maria and went on their way. But now the moment came when Alberto woke up, and Maria was next to him. So she had to explain to him and say, "We can now live together for a while. We are in heaven, but actually we are in a pre-heaven." And she explained to him that they had to wait there until the Madonna would come and take them both to heaven. Alberto listened and found this environment very pleasant. He said, "It's just like on Earth. But here we have enough space, a house for both of us." And it seemed to him to be quite good and nice. Alberto also sat down on the bench and so they watched what was going on. Their house stood alone, so to speak. Wherever they looked, they only saw fields, but they knew that there was a village not far away and that these beings who were passing by were going to this village. Now these noble beings passed by again and smiled and waved to the two of them. Then Maria said to Alberto, "They are very noble beings and they are very well disposed towards me. And so I believe, if they are well disposed towards me, they will be well disposed towards you too." But Alberto was not at all enthusiastic about the friendliness of these supposedly beautiful or noble beings, because he still had a lot of human thinking and many memories from his past life in his soul, unpleasant memories of people who acted noble. He still had this feeling, and he said to Maria that one could not trust these nobles here either. It would be better to avoid them. Because he spoke from experience, in his entire human life he had not had good experiences with such nobles. And so he told about his life, who had deceived and betrayed him, and by such nobles. And so Alberto thought he knew better, that it was probably no different in the new world. So he said, "There is so much that is similar to the world in which we lived, even if the matter here is a little less condensed." He could see that, but it was too similar to what was on Earth for him. And so he asked Maria to go into the house with him when these nobles came back. One had to avoid them, because that is how they started. First they would smile at them in a friendly way, and very soon they would come and possibly send them away from this house, or they would have to pay God knows how much for this house. Maria said to him, "Alberto, we don't have to pay anything." But Alberto didn't trust this, and when these nobles actually passed by again and Alberto saw them, he took Maria by the hand and walked quickly into the house with her, so he was full of mistrust. Maria didn't like that, but she had been used to obeying Alberto. Then they sat down again on the bench and found life heavenly, since they were in the pre-heaven. But Maria said, "I'm interested in what's going on in the village. I'd like to go to the village sometime. I see so many people who are always passing by and I'd like to know where they're going." Alberto said, "Good, you can go." But he warned her not to have any conversations with such nobles that she might meet. She had to hold back, because they couldn't be trusted. And so Maria went into the village. Of course she had to admire everything. In this village there were many buildings and gardens, and she even saw some animals. She began to be interested in them, and she stopped there on the spiritual road and asked someone who was passing by. She was very careful not to speak to anyone of a distinction or nobility TM, but only to speak to a very humble being. Then she asked this stranger, and he answered her, "You certainly haven't been here long enough to not know anything about it." "Yes," she said, "I live nearby with Alberto. But I'm interested in what's going on here." And he replied, "We have to work and we have to go to school." And then he asked Maria, "Don't you go to school?" And Maria answered, "No. Why should I go to school?" "Yes, could you write and read when you were human?" "Not write," she said, "read, very little. I could write my name. But we got through life anyway." "And are you alone?" he asked. "No, I told you, I'm with my husband Alberto." "Oh yes, and he, could he write? Could he do arithmetic? Could he read?" "Oh no, you didn't need that. You got by with what little you knew. Then it's time for you to make an effort to go to school with your husband, because you have to learn to write, read, do arithmetic and a lot more besides. Maria didn't like that and asked, "And what else do people do here in this village? It doesn't look like there's school next to school." "No, we have to work too. There are all kinds of crafts that you have to do and you have to learn to work." He patted her on the shoulder and said, "People like us haven't worked all that much, Maria." And he was gone. So she stood there and wondered. She was, as she had been told, in the pre-heaven, and so she thought, in the pre-heaven, you don't work and you don't go to school. The Madonna will come and then she will raise you up and everything will go its right way. And then she met these nobles again. They went from one house to the other and it seemed to her as if they were in a hurry. These nobles smiled at Maria again, but now she didn't dare wave back or even smile. Alberto had forbidden her to do so. Now she was very uncertain. She didn't like the school things and so she thought, "Perhaps they're smiling at me so that they can take me and Alberto with them after all. And what would Alberto say if he still had to go to school?" Then she went back and told him everything she had experienced and that there were schools for adults like Alberto and her. There were no children, she hadn't seen any children, she had seen a few animals, but the adults have to go to school. "Don't you think it's good if we go to school too? Shouldn't we sign up to go to school too?" Alberto did not agree. "No, now I'm in heaven," he said, "and I want to measure the kingdom of heaven." So he was content on his bench, just like in human life. He had never worked much, and he didn't want to know anything about learning, oh no. He was afraid he would embarrass himself. He couldn't write his name, yes, but nothing more, and he couldn't read either. So he said to Mary, "No. It could be that the Madonna simply makes it possible for us. The Madonna can come and in one word she can declare, 'You should be able to write and read, you should know everything and be able to do everything.' The Madonna can do that," Alberto claimed, "and so we are waiting for the Madonna. She will save us. The Madonna will give us what we need." Maria was a little skeptical and said, "You know, we actually pray far too little. In the kingdom of heaven you have to pray. And the Madonna will never come to us if we don't pray. We must also pray to Christ and we must ask God to take care of us." Alberto did not think that was necessary, he said, "We are in the kingdom of heaven and we could not have it any better than here. Nobody bothers us, we're not really hungry, and when we feel like having something to eat, the grapes are there." He was so used to sitting on the bench and sunbathing in his life, and so the idea of A.A. not being allowed or able to do that anymore was difficult for him. And so they always sat on that bench, and there was always some kind of conversation. But when these noble figures passed by, they walked quickly into the house. Now they thought they were safe in the house. But they were wrong. Because now the two noblemen who always walked past and always smiled at them so kindly came into the house and greeted them. Maria was actually delighted because she thought they were so beautiful, but Alberto was not. These two beings were friendly, greeted them and said that they should also decide to come to the village to find out which school they were going to and where they could find a place. Maria looked at Alberto. He was not enthusiastic and said that it was not necessary for them to go to school. They were happy as it was. They had been used to poverty and modesty all their lives and wanted to continue to be that way. But the angels did not seem to agree and said, "Yes, we ask you to come with us sometime when we pass by. Then we will show you the schools and then you must start learning." They said their goodbyes in a friendly manner and left again. Alberto didn't like that at all. He thought that there should be no coercion in heaven and that one should be able to live as one wants, only then would life be heavenly, but under no circumstances should there be any kind of coercion. That was what Alberto thought. But Mary prayed that the Madonna would show her the way she had to go and that the Madonna would come to her if it wasn't too much to ask. The Madonna didn't come, but the two noble beings came again. Alberto refused to go because he was simply afraid that he would embarrass himself and he simply didn't want that. He was content and happy with the little, the modest things that were there. And so he said, "Please let me go. I don't need to become so intelligent and I don't need to go to school. I'm happy as it is." And the angels said, "Yes, it won't be long before one of your sons comes. There are 3 beds in your house, so he can use one of them when he comes." It was the eldest son who was to come. His name was Carlo. The angels of God brought him to his parents' house. At first he too was very dazed, sleepy, tired, and the angels laid him on this bed. He was to rest, and so they said to Maria and Alberto, "You can keep watch over him, and when he wakes up, he should stay here in this house for a while, look at the surroundings and try to settle into the new world. Then we will have tasks for him too, and then all 3 of you can go to school together." Well, that's what happened. They brought them this Carlo, and at first he was tired and not really able to realize his surroundings. They let him sleep for a while. Alberto and Maria watched over him and were there when he woke up from this sleep and opened his eyes. They told him, "You can stay with us. We are in a pre-heaven. Our life here is heavenly." And they were happy to have at least this Carlo with them, of their many children. It took him a while to get used to this environment. Then he looked around and walked back and forth outside the house and saw this beautiful surroundings, the garden, the grapes, the bench in front of the house. But then he was taken aback and asked, "Are you all alone here in the house? And is this really heaven where you live? Where are the angels of heaven? Is there no music here?" And Alberto and Maria said, "Yes, we are only in the pre-heaven. There is music in heaven. But we have to wait until the Madonna comes to get us." Carlo understood that too. But the parents did not say anything about the village or the school, because Carlo had not been educated either. So they stayed together for a while and were particularly happy to be able to have at least one son with them. Of the many children they had on earth, Carlo was now the only one who was allowed to stay with them. Carlo actually adapted quickly to this environment, because he thought it was all too similar to Earth. He had his own household and children, some of whom had already grown up. As he walked back and forth in front of the house, he saw these large fields and probably recognized the village in the distance, and he asked Maria, "What does this village look like?" She answered, "You can go and find out for yourself." Carlo claimed that he had plans. There was so much space here, and his children and his wife would also go to heaven one day, and so he would now build a house for them. There was enough space, and he wanted to get ahead of others. He wanted to build a house for his family. Maria said, "Yes, I don't think you can do that." Alberto also expressed his concerns, but Carlo was not convinced. "There is enough space here, and if I don't claim this space, others will. That's how it was on Earth, that's how it is, the first to come takes first." And his parents, Maria and Alberto, could only be amazed. "Perhaps Carlo is right," they thought, "perhaps we should have shown more enthusiasm." They had done nothing else but sit on the bench. But Carlo now took action. He wanted to build a house and chose a place. He said, "Since there is no one to claim this land, I will do it. And I will take as much as I want, because I want to take advantage of the opportunity. I want to get rich. That's how it's done. I will build one house after another. There is so much space, and I will be paid for it. My work must be paid for." Carlo spoke, without considering where he would get the materials to build it from. Then he also wanted to go to the village and he asked, "Are there no donkeys here that one can ride? Do I have to walk to the village?" "Yes," said the two, "there are no animals here. We haven't seen any donkeys." And Alberto said, "If you are interested in the village, you just have to make an effort and go there on foot." "Of course I'm going to the village," he replied, "because I have to find out about the material. I want to buy it." Maria had reservations and said, "How are you going to buy material? We are poor. How are you going to pay?" "Yes, I'll give them a piece of land and in return they'll give me the material." Alberto and Maria began to think, "Actually, the land doesn't belong to anyone. There's no one to claim it. So much land, and it's all empty. You could certainly build a house there, and the hardworking should be rewarded. They were just a bit simple-minded in their thinking, they had been that way as humans, and they remain so even after death. Now Carlo set off and went to the village. First of all he wanted a donkey, because he would have had to use it to transport materials. But it seemed to him that there were no traders who offered such donkeys. There were animals, there were dogs, cats, birds and all sorts of other small animals, but they all seemed to have their owners, and no matter who he asked who this or that animal belonged to, he never got a proper answer, no one knew. So he couldn't do anything. He saw the creatures walking back and forth in this village, and he also saw the schools. He saw them sitting in the rooms and saw the teachers talking to the students. Yes, that made him a bit suspicious, but he thought that going to school like that wasn't necessary for him. But he didn't dare to have a closer conversation with anyone. He just wanted to check it out first and see what the village looked like. He noticed that there were quite nice houses there. They were all on one level, so to speak, one story, simple, everything very simple, and there were modest gardens. But he didn't make any demands. He wasn't used to anything better. So he was content and didn't worry about the fact that heaven should actually be in all its glory. His thoughts were still too tied to the earthly, and he had only one plan, to build a house, after all he had lived in a half-ruined hut on earth. Now he had enough land at his disposal, and he thought that somehow he would manage to build such a one-story house. That didn't seem to be difficult to him. But he went home empty-handed, so he couldn't have a closer conversation with anyone. Maria asked, "Didn't you bring anything with you? Don't you have a donkey?" "No, not yet, but that will come." While Maria and Alberto always had the insecure feeling that they would be called up for school, these appointments did not come for the time being. The two were quite happy about this. Because Carlo did have plans, he wanted to build a house, and they thought that they should not deny him this, it would be understandable that the other relatives would come here too. Carlo then went back to the village, and this time he had enough courage to ask someone who crossed his path, "Could you get me some materials? I want to build a house." The man looked at him in surprise and asked him, "You want to build a house? You want to build a house? You have not been here long. Are you a stranger here? I live with my parents. I am not a stranger here. I am just a stranger in this village, but I live very close by." "Well, why do you want to build a house if you live with your parents?" asked the other. "Yes, I have to build a house for my relatives who are still to come. And then I want to become a respected man. I want to work hard here, because there is enough land here."
"Ah, you think you can just build a house?" asked the man in astonishment.
"Yes, why not?"
"Yes, I'm sorry, I can't give you anything because I don't have anything. And I don't know where to get materials for a house. And anyway, you can never build a house, it's built by the others."
"By the others?"
"By which others?" asked Carlo. And he was answered,
"Oh,
by which others? By those above, of course." But Carlo did not understand this language, he did not understand who was meant by those above. And so he went home again, disappointed that he had achieved nothing. He slowly came to the realization that it was not so easy to get hold of this material and that there was enough space in the house where he lived with his parents. On Earth, people were used to many people living together in a small space. Slowly he gave up the plan, but he was unsure and thought, "I will wait. Wait, the opportunity will surely come." And one thing was clear to him, no one else was allowed to build, because he and his parents had been here first, or so he thought. And then they came again, these nobles, and asked all three of them to come with them to the village. There were three of them, so to speak, to be a support for each of them, and they were so friendly and so loving. But their friendliness did not succeed in persuading these three to come with them. And so these nobles left again without having accomplished anything, because they were not strict. But things turned out differently, because these three nobles naturally passed on the news that there were three unruly beings in the house who did not want to go to school or obey anything. And then they had to send other beings over, who were less friendly but much more serious. And so three others came into the house, also a support for each of them, so that they could accompany each one individually. They went into the house and here they were not at all enthusiastic. After all, they believed that they were living in heaven with this freedom and not being bothered. The serious beings came and took the three of them with them without further ado, and there was no argument, nothing. They were led into the village, and there was not much to talk about on the way, because these three, Alberto, Maria and Carlo, suddenly became quiet and shy. The severity of these nobles, they were also noble, had impressed them, and they had immediately understood that there was no argument here. So they went with them, and Carlo now saw his plans for his house fading more and more. And so they were led into a school. There they were greeted by the students and the teacher. They were asked to sit down and they had to start learning. They had to learn to read and write, in the language they had spoken in their human lives. All the students who were there spoke the same language they had once spoken. Now there was no turning back, they had to start learning. But these strict people left again, and there were friendly, loving teachers there. And so they had to go to these schools and just start learning, writing, reading, arithmetic and much more besides. First they were taught the bare essentials, because there was so much they had to be taught about, where they were, how long they had been staying here, what spiritual level they were at, what they had missed, what they had done wrong. There was so much they had to be taught about. And now they suddenly found it very interesting that they were being taught and instructed in this way, and so they became diligent. They also realized that they did not have to be embarrassed in front of the others, that the others did not know much more than they did. They were also taught about God's creation and about the saints of heaven. Now they heard who the Madonna was, and they heard about Christ, about his task, and they heard about the necessity of human life, about the meaning and purpose of life. And they heard about the influence that both the good and the evil spirit world has on people. They also heard that you have to work in the spiritual world. And so they were promised that if they studied hard, they would one day be able to pursue a good profession in the spiritual world. So these three kept going back to their house and back to the village, and Carlo, who had believed that he could claim land on his own, now had to experience and see that the higher power controls everything and that in the divine realm everything is God's property and that it must first be earned and acquired if you want to come into possession of an object or anything else. And so he was able to experience how beings came and started to work and build very close to the house in which he lived with his parents. But they were unknown and strange beings to him. He started talking to them, and now he saw where this spiritual material came from, with which a house could be built, and he saw how work had to be done, exactly as the people did who worked hard on earth. Now he came to the realization that work must be done in the kingdom of heaven and that this pre-heaven, where he was with his parents, was nothing other than a place of work and learning for those who were still spiritually low, who were not malicious in nature and not too guilty, but who had retained a certain simple disposition from their earthly life. These are brothers and sisters who rise from below and to whom one must show a great deal of patience and kindness. One teaches them to work and to be obedient, and they must also be initiated into the virtues. These three did not stay together permanently. They had to separate again and come to a community house to prove that they are capable of living together with others who are strangers to them, of sharing with them and of dealing with their peculiarities and their own will, which everyone has, and of living side by side in peace. This task still lay ahead of these three. In this way, they had the opportunity to take a big step forward in the spiritual world. Later on, the path to their new earthly life was to be smoothed for them in such a way that something of what they had been taught in the spiritual world would still remain in the depths of their souls. In this way, the spirit world of God takes care of those who return, who are on the ascent, who live modestly, who feel happy in poverty. In this way they will get to know many things in the divine world that they did not know and did not want to know on earth. They will be taught with a lot of patience and with a lot of kindness. And those who come from a modest earthly life are quickly satisfied with life in the spiritual world. They make no demands, they are quickly satisfied. And the spiritual world takes all of that into account.